Are you curious about bodies, pleasure, and possibilities? And what about curious about what others are up to on the planet when it comes to pleasure, sex, and play? Have you considered what pleasure can do for your life, your body, and your bank account? Do you know something magical, delightful, and out of this world orgasmic is not only possible for you, but totally available to you? If you're ready to be the magical, sexual, sexy beast you know you can be, and you just need the tools to get there, you're in the right place. Now, here is the host of The Pleasure Zone, sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, and holistic health practitioner, Milica Jelinic.
Welcome, my sweet pleasure seekers. So tonight's topic, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm just going to give it to you straight up, is because I was having this like thought about how much I talk about foreplay and how much I talk about core play, which is a great word that I got from a book called She Comes First. And I love that word, core play. And I don't know if the author of that book coined that phrase or not, but I love the phrase. And then I thought, what about after play? And you hear about things like after play more in like the kink community, where you're doing things to make sure the person's safe, and you're checking in to see, you know, how the whole process went. So aftercare. And so I'm thinking after play, because frankly, like, my body's still usually ready for some stimulation and for more fun and more play. Like, when it's done, it's not done. So we're talking about after play today and some fun ideas for after play, because sometimes the foreplay, maybe it just isn't happening in the way that you want it to. So delay it. Maybe it becomes after play. All right. Well, let's talk about that as a fun concept. If you're watching videos, as I'm like flinging my microphone around. Anyhow, after play, that's what we're going to be talking about. And why do I talk about these things? One of the reasons is because I absolutely love talking about pleasure, because we don't have enough of it on the planet. It was interesting. I actually saw this video this week about research that was done on babies in the 60s, around 1964. And there were all these babies that were sitting in front of toys, and they would give kids blocks and they would stack them up and see how all these babies would respond. And they could tell which children came from places where they weren't feeling overly traumatized, because the kids would automatically play, or they would knock the blocks down right away because they felt like safe that they could do that. I didn't like dive into the research that they were representing, but I saw that and I was like, wow, we carry that out. We carry all of that, I don't know how to play stuff, right through our lives. And it's one of those things, like, I create an idea for a show, and then the whole week leading up to it, my life, information, things surround it to give me more insight into that. And that particular one with babies who were not able to have fun or play and didn't even want to like stack or touch the blocks, even when shown that it was okay, or to hold the block, they didn't know what to do with it. They just sat frozen. So they were monitoring these babies and their fight or flight. And these babies, so many of them were frozen, and they were all in the, you know, polyvagal response of their bodies were not calm. So they were all in some kind of stress reaction to things like play. And I bet if I took 100 adults right now and I sat toys in front of them, I bet you maybe one or two would actually sit and play, because so many adults still to this day don't know how to play. These were babies in the 1960s. These were babies who were raised by people who had probably gone through World War II and all the generational trauma that came with that. So these are babies who also were, you know, had all the thoughts of poverty and everything, there was stress, right? So one of the things that I didn't check into that research is did they look at the socioeconomic situations of these children? Did they look at the parenting styles of the children? They were really looking at this more specifically, like, that children at that very young age of under the age of two we're having massive stress responses to play. And so for me, this thought of after play is a great idea. I'm not the one who coined it either, which for a hot minute I thought I was. I'm like, after play, what a great word. But then I Google searched it and there are, people using the word, the terms after play and aftercare all over the place. So I did not coin it. Every once in a while I think, oh, I got coined this. No, I didn't. I didn't coin it. I think I also thought I coined like clit happens, which I had an episode of that recently, but I don't know that I coined it either. I'll have to look that up again, but if I did coin it, I'm making t-shirts and let me know if you want one. Comments below. All right. So why don't we play? Let's start with that because I think that's like one of the key things. Oh, and why do I talk about this stuff? Yes, I love talking about pleasure because there isn't enough pleasure in the world. I'm also a sex and intimacy coach and a holistic health practitioner. And one of the things that I see coming into my practice all the time is that people have had massive traumas and stresses in their lives, and it's affecting their health, their mental health, their physical health, their relationships, their finances. It's affecting the whole gamut. And we need to switch this up. We need to change this because this is not kind to not only to your own self, it's then it ripples out to everybody you're around. So whether you're, intentionally being mean or unintentionally being mean, it's just a response that you are so used to that you don't know how to do it any other way. And I'm a big fan of being able to change things up. Personally, I've gone from the age of 22, well, actually before 22, I kind of dabbled in having like different experiences in my life with like meditation and things starting at around different things even than that. Now that I'm like backtracking and backtracking, probably age 12. And I would go for like spiritual advice at the age of 12 on my day off school, and I'd have my $5 in my pocket and I'd go to the spiritual, local spiritual advisor. Yes, I did do that now that I think about it. And then even tracking back, I was like naturally inclined to put my hands on sick people. So at the age of 2, where I'm talking about these kids who are in. And the stress response. At the age of 2, my dad had told me that many times I would put my hands on people who were really sick. So when I started doing this work, at first he was a little like, "What?" And then he started to realize, "Wait a second, you've been doing it your whole life." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, that makes more sense." So as a practitioner, and I've been a practitioner for over 28 years and working with people with various modalities, I have found that one thing people don't know how to do is have fun. Have fun without booze and without the alcohol, without the drugs, without any like extraordinary circumstances going on, right? Like remove the addiction, can you still have fun? And generally, I have found that it's really hard for adults to just have fun. And so I'm a big fan of just have fun. I'm a little dork and I have like toys. I got games in my home. We have Lego. We have puppets. We have crafts. We are the house of play. And I know that a lot of people find that awkward or weird, probably because they've never been able to play. They haven't had the opportunity. They were probably born into a home where there was a lot of stress. That play maybe was messy, especially if you have a parent who is like working really hard and they didn't really want to clean up a mess of play. So you weren't allowed to have play because play was messy. So then you would stop yourself from playing and having fun. That happens. And one of the things to do is you can reclaim your joyful, playful self. It's one of the greatest gifts you can give to the world is your joyful, playful self. And yeah, I just said that. And why that is such a great gift is because it shifts the energy out of trauma and drama. It helps to reset your nervous system. And when you can be in that energy of play and you can play, genuinely play, silly things, fun things, go skip down the road. Like I was skipping through my field the other day. I don't know. Sometimes instead of walking, I like to skip. So I just skip. Yes, I was actually skipping down the road the other day towards a cemetery because that's just what people do, right? And I find that it's just more fun to sometimes skip along or whatever. So I do that. And why not? Like, what's going to happen? The skipping police are going to come by? Well, actually, in Canada right now, we do have authorities who are like stopping people from walking. But anyways, that's welcome to Canada. So we have, an opportunity to learn how to play again. We have a choice and we can play in any way we like, whether that's sports. A lot of people will go to sports, which is cool. It also can really increase things. Like if you're highly competitive, it's going to increase things like your cortisol, because that's actually a fight or flight response. So what we're trying to do is community things that would bring you down to calm. So building sandcastles, that's a great one, as long as you don't have an aversion to like sand on your hands. And doing things that are playful. And if you can do it with more than one person, fantastic. If you're even just playing and it's just solo, as long as you're not making heavy rules and making things like really stressful, then you're good. So play, super, super important. So after play, even with adults, letting that play continue. So you got your foreplay, your core play, which is the all day long, it's part of your life play. And you got the after play, which is very intentionally connecting with your partner after the act of sex, the official sex act, is finished, and just having fun and playing, like asking your partner what maybe they would like. That's a really good place to start. We could create a whole list of these are the top 10 greatest things you can do for your partner in after play. Yes, I can give you some hints and ideas of where to start, and I will. And I like you to get creative, because part of that play is being creative and just like seeing what comes up. And you might get stunned and you might get stumped because you're not used to play. And although play is so incredibly healing, after play is part of play. And so incredibly healing. It doesn't have to be serious and it doesn't have to have a target, because it's after the play. It's after the fact of you've already done the deed, kids. So now what would you like to do? Go have some fun. Play. Where you're going to bring some food in, maybe you're going to connect. You don't even have to make it super serious, because yes, we can make it super spiritual and super serious, and that's beautiful. Absolutely. Making all of it very intense and tantric in a certain way. Yes, absolutely. And play is so, so important, where it doesn't have a purpose necessarily. There is no target. When you look at little kids playing games, even if they're like playing Barbies, the target isn't necessarily that Barbie must wear 15 outfits in 15 minutes, and then Barbie must have, three different hairstyles, and Barbie must, and Barbie must. No, that isn't it. When kids go to play, they're often working out scenarios that they've either seen or felt or are trying to understand. So when they're doing play like with dolls and things, or even when they place things in different places, objects in different places, and finding comfort in creating space and things around themselves, it's all generally, they are processing their environment and they're processing what's going on, and even their paintings and drawings. Children do play to process, also to heal. They don't even realize they're doing it. And just because it's fun, there's no target. It's not like you must heal with your play. No, you're playing because it's a contribution to your joy. All right, so we're going to make sure that we learn. It's going to be serious, guys. We're going to make sure we know how to play by the end of this. No, we're going to have fun with this because it's play and we need to know how to have more fun with it. Play should not be significant. And literally, like when I say I have puppets in the home, I will bring puppets wherever I go. And I have some, and I have dolls from when I was like 8 years old, and they're all in my life. And every once in a while, I still, every once daily, let's face it, it's daily. I play every effing day. And it may seem odd, but I tell you, it's therapeutic for the whole everybody involved. I mean, some people get freaked out by it because they're like, oh my God, you have puppets and dolls and you have toys in your house and I'm freaked out by you. Okay. Okay, you're maybe not, you might not be my people then. It's okay, I get it. But if you are okay with play, you're my people. We're good. We can play. We can have fun and, just be goofy. It doesn't have to mean anything. All right. So moving on into that, think about some things that would actually bring you a lot of joy to play. Maybe it's something as simple as skipping down the road instead of walking to your mailbox. We have mailboxes out where we are and we have to go to them. Why not skip to your mailbox and have some fun instead of, oh, big chore, I got to walk to the mailbox, throw some skipping in, and it becomes a heck of a lot more fun. All right, just an idea. So we're going to head to our first commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show, with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly, other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica, every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. I realize some of you might have listened to that whole first segment and went, all she did was talk about play. I did. And I talked about play in a very innocent way. And the reason for that is because play can absolutely be playful and innocent. Even after play can be playful and innocent. I will give you tips and tools that will probably sound a little less silly or, whatever you might think of, me and my puppets and my dolls and my, all the Lego and games that we have around skipping down the road. Yes, I'll probably give you other things than that. Taking those ideas and just pushing you to like a little extreme that yes, even adults can have things that are playful, that are childlike. And it's more about being able to not be overly serious in life. See a lot of really, really serious adults, and like my soul cries out for them. I'm like, how do you be so serious? Doesn't it pain you? Are you not in chronic, constant pain? Are you having fun in life? Like, what is up with the seriousness? Are you willing to just go blow bubbles and be silly? And I know quite a few people who don't even really feel comfortable being okay with something as simple as blowing bubbles. And I've told a surprising amount of adults to go and blow bubbles, and a surprising amount have come back to me to say, felt really awkward blowing bubbles. But the ones that I've met that already blow bubbles, the quick story, my child is an artist, and we were at an art show about a year ago, and we were handing out bubbles as like, just something as a gift to people coming into the booth. And an older gentleman came in and I was like, do you want some bubbles? And he was like, he looked at me funny. I'm like, Oh, you're the guy who loves bubbles, aren't you? And he kind of like gave me a little smirk. He's like, I really do love bubbles. I have a bubble machine at home. I'm like, okay, that is stinking adorable. I gave him bubbles and he lit up like a 5-year-old at Christmas. And I was like, that's the magic of being able to just be silly playful. And he like blew his bubbles in public and it was like, you could see the relief in his face that it was like he didn't have to hide his love of bubbles anymore. It was okay to be a little kid. It was okay to embrace your inner child and be silly and playful. And other people can see it and they can do whatever they want with that. You're not harming anybody. You know, everything is consensual. Your bubbles haven't affected people. Although one really angry woman wanted to know why we were giving out bubbles. And I was like, it's for fun. And she was so ultra confused by that. But there you go. Anyhow, so a little bit of talk about like why I'm so keen on bringing up easy play that is nonsensical, that's silly, that's goofy, is because when you can do that, your nervous system goes from fight or flight or freeze and or fawn even, and it starts to calm down. You'll start to connect with people, you'll start to giggle, you'll start to be silly, you'll start to heal. You'll start to find out who you are. You'll start to be okay with who you are in the presence of others without having to fit in. And you don't have to necessarily hide you because you're being playful and you're okay with being playful and you're healing yourself while you do that. And then let's translate that energy over to the bedroom. So when we're really serious about sex, and we go in, and we have a regimen and we have step one, two, and three. Step one, meet the other person at the location where the sex will take place. Step two, begin to undress. Step three, approach the other body and try to stimulate the most obvious parts. Step four, entry. Wherever that entry is happening, you will enter, you will do the job you were there to do. Thrust and thrust and thrust again. And then, you know, you're going to thrust back, both of you, gyrating your bodies in a very simultaneous rhythmic motion. Excellent. Done. Now you will clean up and exit the room. There you go. Doesn't that sound absolutely delightful? In what universe is that delightful? That is a chore. That is obligation. There is no play. There is no humor. There is no silliness. There is no connection. And it's very regimented and there's a timeline. You know, so can you start with one thing to be playful? And this, if it involves another person's body, it needs to be consensual. So, if the playfulness is to go around and either begin with touch, either touching them, touch their bum or whatever, there's a lot of bum touching that happens in this house. So, if you're going to start with something that's going to be playful, make sure your partner is okay with it. Make sure there's consent. And don't make it serious. You can just enjoy the person without having to have a targeted outcome. They must have, both partners must climax. No, this is playful. Have fun. Say fun things to each other. Have a fun, playful conversation. And I find that the most fun, playful things could even include things like dress up and all kinds of fun things, like just take it to a different zone than you're used to. Crack yourself out of all the seriousness that you make sex. And there are religious reasons why people are very serious. There are cultural reasons. There are lack of ideas, lack of creativity. There are trauma that is also like a contributing factor. So psychological, physiological reasons why people may have this. But no matter what your circumstances, you can add play. So if you're in, well, that's really funny. My brain went to even if you're in jail. Well, yeah, but I'm not really talking to that crowd right now, right? So if you're with a partner, You can, and if you're not, even if you're solo, you can add play. So you can have play as a solo practitioner by going out flirting with people. You could go out, depending on the play that you're into, you could even as a solo practitioner, you could do things like tie yourself up. And you could do other things like putting on blindfolds for yourself. You do a lot of fun, kinky things for yourself as a solo practitioner just to give yourself a new experience and be able to feel things in a different way. So if you are tying yourself up, though, make sure that you don't tie your hands too hard. Or if you are tying yourself up, make sure somebody knows in case they have to untie you. But I recommend that if you're tying yourself up, tie your legs up first as a first experimental thing to do. That way you can untie it. And for safety reasons too, having specialty scissors around, they're like the kind of scissors they would use for cutting material off if they come to you with an ambulance and they got to cut your clothes off. It's I think they're surgical type scissors. Anyway, those you might want to have those on hand so you don't harm yourself in case you've tied something too tight and you can't untie the knot. And but definitely the more you can have fun with it and the more you can just breathe in and relax a bit, the better you're going to feel about yourself. So it's going to help increase your self-esteem. It's also going to help your body in so many different ways. You'll probably have better sleep because your nervous system will be relaxed. You're probably also going to have a lot more clarity of mind because you're going to feel like less brain fog going on. When your nervous system is in balance, a lot of other things work. So your digestion works, which can often be a contributing factor to brain fog, along with parasites and things, but that's not my talk for today. But you want to be able to do things that will help your body heal so that you can overall heal and then you can have more pleasure. Your body always has more pleasure when you're connected and calm. Even if you feel like you're stimulated and you're turned on, if you're turned on from a place of calm, it's even sexier. If you're turned on from a place of fight or flight, you often will have very burnt out sex where it'll happen either very quickly or you won't be able to feel satisfied. There's a lot of stuff that'll happen when you're having like burnout sex or obligation. It'll feel like obligation too. So, one of the reasons we want to do after play, so we got foreplay, that's happening before the actual body parts coming together, whether it's oral or anal or vaginal penetration. Some hole is going to get something in it. That's generally how people categorize sex. And then we have core play, which is like kind of that concept of that your whole life, like it's part of your life, whether you started in the morning or you just for a day you have that, or if it's just how you are all day every day. And then we have the concept of after play, which is what you can do with your partner after those body parts have slammed together and you've had, and even if it wasn't 100% gratifying or satisfying, penetrative, some body part goes in a whole kind of sex, the after play can be incredibly gratifying. So one of the reasons to have after play is because it will help you connect with your partner. It helps with emotional bonding and it helps with long-term desire. If you would like your partner to desire more sex with you, then including things like after play so that they feel connected, so you're not just walking away and abandoning them, they will have more desire to want to be with you. They'll feel more connected to you and they'll desire even more connection to you. It'll also bring in like hugging and things as an after play can bring in the oxytocin effect where you start to feel even more connected. Oxytocin is one of those happy hormones, so it'll increase your happiness as well. So a lot of reasons why people completely don't even have after play or never even maybe thought of it is because they figured the act is over. That's all there was to it. That's all we ever learned about is the purpose, the target, and then you hit the target and walk away. So that's one of the reasons a lot of times is time. Time is a constraint. Maybe they're just, it's a quickie and they're the time constraint, or there's children, or there's just, they haven't chosen to create the time, because you can always choose to create the time for things that are important to you. When you choose to create the time for things that are your priority, your life changes. So if your partner is your priority, and if pleasuring your partner is a priority, and you commit to that, and you create time for it, your life will change. It will become better and better and better. And it will impact your satisfaction. You'll have more and greater satisfaction with your partner, as your partner will enjoy you more and you'll enjoy them more. So it's really important to note that after play is, it's not just about trying to stimulate. I mean, you could try to stimulate the person to go at it again, sure. And it can just really be about enjoying their body, enjoying their presence, having conversation. And we're going to talk about some ideas and tips when we come back. So you're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and we'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelenich, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for The Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is The Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelenich. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelenich.com. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back, my sweet pleasure seekers. Tonight we're talking all about after play. And I've mentioned in several episodes, I've mentioned the Wheel of Consent. So The Art of Gifting and Receiving, The Wheel of Consent, is a fantastic book. And you can incorporate that either in your foreplay or your after play. And there are great ideas in there that I think could be really well integrated into after play that are part of the permission for touch. So asking things of your partner like, may I stroke your back while we lay here? And your partner might be like, actually, that sounds lovely. And then you can give guidance. You know, you can either do it your way, or you can say, can you show me in what way you would like me to do that? And maybe they'd like really light touch or heavier touch, maybe slow touch, maybe fast touch. But be open to receive feedback and have conversation. Because really, this is just about connecting with your partner. It's not necessarily about having to get them to orgasm, like that obligation orgasm, that target that's so, so important. It's about connecting with your partner. So if you can enjoy them and enjoy their requests, enjoy their feedback, especially if they're and the feedback, I hope that if you are giving feedback, that your feedback is kind. Say, I really love it when you touch here. Can you touch me slower? Because I really want to enjoy your touch in a longing kind of way. Yeah, give that feedback. It's lovely feedback. So, touch is one of those things you can do. And having consent with that touch is fantastic. So asking the questions of may I, and it's kind of fun and playful. Like, may I is such a great way to start a question. May I touch you? May I touch you? And then give a specific place and maybe in a specific way. May I touch you slowly on your thigh? And your partner may be like, the game Mother May I? This is where it kind of gets playful, right? If you don't know the game Mother May I, is a game as kids where somebody would like stand up against a wall, and then the other kids who are playing would stand behind, like 30 or 40 feet behind, and then they would yell, "Mother, may I take 10 steps?" And then mother would either say yes or no, and then whoever got to the wall first, or wherever you're playing, whoever got to the mother first became mother, and then you'd switch up. But the may I part is really fun. And part of what we learn through that play, Mother May I, and it's like, yes, you may, or no, you may not. Sometimes it was no, you may not. You may take one baby step instead of 10 baby steps. Well, you can kind of playfully use that as well with in your context of intimacy. Like, if you like to call each other mommy and daddy, go ahead. That's playful too for some people. It's not for me. I don't really like calling my partner daddy at all. I don't find that sexy, but that's just me. And it is really sexy for a lot of other people. So you do you. And you can ask those questions like, may I? And then ask for whatever you would like. And they might say, no, you may not, but you may something else. And so when it is said kind of in a playful way, where it's more like a game, like a kid's game, then you will probably find that it's a lot easier to take the no, you may nots, and you might be given a supplemental request than it is if it's like, would you like me to touch you here or there? No, I don't like it when you do that. I don't know why I went into old lady accent, but that's me in my old lady accent. It was a little bit of old man and then old lady accent. I don't even know why I did that. But anyway, now you know I was channeling some old people down the road from me, probably. Maybe some people who, maybe the old lady who lived here before. I don't know. Anyhow, so giving some appreciation to you and saying, like, I really loved it when you did this, this, and this. Like, like very specific feedback, and give really, you can even give really sensual feedback as well. You can use naughty words if you like, because sometimes that can reignite the interest. You can sometimes just use like sounds of enjoyment too, like moaning and groaning, to be like, I really loved the way you stroked my clitoris. It was delightful. You can use fun words. Depends on the language you like. I like language like that because I'm a nerd. And so you might not. You might want to have like hardcore things like, yeah, I love it when you suck my clit. I don't know. You might want to go hardcore. I have no, and that's not even remotely hardcore. I can't go totally hardcore on here because I'll get shut down. But you can, have fun with that language stuff and see how your partner responds to the language you're using and the way you're communicating verbally, because it might be a turn off too. So being able to have a communication level that is inviting and opening for both partners is important, or many partners. I always just continue with two, but you can definitely use this with multiple partners. It's great to have consent among the whole group. So one of the other things that a lot of times people complain is that they want to be cuddled and they don't get cuddled. And for the people out there who refuse to cuddle, know that if your partner's asking to be cuddled, it's because they're really asking to feel connected, and they want to feel like you're there for them, and they want to feel like you are not going to abandon them. And the chances are they've probably been abandoned in their life and they need their nervous system to feel calm and safe. Cuddling and spooning creates a safe space effect. So your body feels like you're looked after and you're nurtured. And especially when you spoon, the person who needs to be spooned, like the one who would like to be cuddled, is spooned from behind, then their whole nervous system is connected. If you think about it visually, like their whole spine is being touched through your skin, through the skin, which has so many nerve endings and so many like electrical stimulation connections. So their spine is being stimulated, but also calmed through touch, through having like pressure on it. So if you've ever seen like dogs when they go into really stress zones, if you put like a thunder jacket on them, then they calm down. It's that tightness. It's like weighted blankets. So having that weight of a body and the weighted blanket feeling can be really helpful. I personally love just being like having a human blanket on top of me. I love like the weight of a body. My whole body just like goes and chills out. I love the human blanket effect. So that's a great feeling. And it can calm my nervous system down in seconds having that. So also things like temperature play. Like if you happen to be one of those people who is like getting prepped for having a good fun time, playful, sexy time, and you get like water and snacks and everything in the room, and maybe you didn't use it for foreplay, bring it into afterplay, maybe having a little snack too, some fruit, maybe some whatever floats your boat, turns you on, things that doesn't smell too yuck so that your room still smells yummy and sexy after. Having water to rehydrate is good too, but also water you could use for like a little hot or cold play depending on the temperature of the water. So if it's like a cool water, you can ask your partner if they would like to have some of that either dripped on them, they'd like to drink it, or maybe you have something where you have it in a bottle and you could mist their body so then they feel like a very sweet cooling effect going on. Lots of different things that you can do with that for hot and cold play. You can also, if you would like other like kind of temperature play, you can use your hands for warmth, but you can also use lotions if you just want to give a post-coital massage with warming lotions. That absolutely would work too. So know that when you're doing this, make sure you have time because your after play could be anywhere from 10 minutes to like an hour or two, or that you're there cuddling for hours, and just chatting for hours. So make sure that you make, when you're making your partner priority, that you don't just give them 25 minutes or half an hour. That's not going to be them feeling like they're a priority when other things in your day might take hours to do. You might put more priority into, I don't know, maybe like your gardening than you do into your sex life. If your sex life and your partner is a bigger priority, that amount of time should be going into your partner. So especially if they're one of their fundamentally big love languages is touch and or quality time, because this doesn't necessarily have to be just about touch. It can just be quality time. You don't even have to necessarily be touching each other. You could be looking at each other. You just spend time looking at each other in the eyes and talking about things. It could even not even be, I mean, a lot of people like want you to keep it to relationship oriented stuff, but you could even talk about politics, if politics turns you on. Talk about things that you're both interested in, catching up on things. It's a great time for all kinds of communication. And it's a really great time, especially for communicating happy feedback and things that you love about your partner. So communicating all things to do with the love language of, oh, what is that one called? The one with words of affirmation, that's the one I'm thinking of. So Yeah, if you can bring in words of affirmation for your partner, that'll be great too. And that way they feel loved and they feel appreciated and they feel seen. So we mentioned a few things in the last segment that you can bring into for your after play. But when I'm talking about after play, like you can actually bring in play. For example, there are many, many, many sex games out there. You could get sexy dice and roll your chances for what are you going to do next time? Or you could create your own sexy dice with after play ideas on it. So if you have two dice, and each with six sides, you can use some of these ideas that I've given to you. You can buy dice at like the dollar store if you live in a country with a dollar store and write your own ideas on there. Have your own homemade sexy dice, and you can just get playful. Roll those dice after and, have fun seeing what would we do next, or discussing even. You can roll the dice and just giggle and laugh about the fun things you could do, if you involved ice cream and somebody's butt cheeks. I don't know, like however you guys want to make the dice. You could have things on one side, body parts on another. You could have actions on one, toys on another. You could get 10 dice if you want and have all kinds of fun things. Tell stories and have fun. It's about fun, guys. Okay, I need to head to my last commercial break. You're listening to The Pleasure Zone here on Inspired Choices Network, and I'll be right back after this commercial.
Are you secretly a voyeur, wondering what's going on in other people's sex lives? What if now is the time for a totally different sexual evolution? Are you interested in people who are pioneers of different sexual and pleasurable practices? Lean in now with Milica Jelinic, where she will entice you and your body to know your own pleasure zone. On the Pleasure Zone radio show with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic, you'll receive tools, inspiration, and a foundation to allow yourself to receive more in your sex life, and quite possibly other areas of your life as well. Listen for the Pleasure Zone with Milica every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. To participate in the program today, join our live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also make the choice to ask or comment by email, info@MilicaJelinic.com. Now, back to the program.
So we can play with dice. Sorry, guys, I've muted myself. I don't even know how I got muted. Anyway, you can get those dice, like I had mentioned before the break. Grab some dice. And you can make your own. So get them from the dollar store, get them wherever you like, and you can write things on them. And then you can have a lot of fun, right? So when I say that it's after play, the emphasis is on play. It's absolutely the emphasis is on play. It's not on whether you're going to get things right or that people are doing things wrong. This is all about experimentation, experiencing, and like just learning new things and having fun. So if you're, I bring up dice because it's a really common thing. You can get dice at like the sex shops as well, and you can roll your own dice. Those are usually for specific sex acts, but you can create your own and add silly fun things to it. Like I was saying, you could have food on one and locations on another or whatever it happens to be. Then you can take it to another game level. You can create your own cards, sexy time cards. And I actually thought about creating sexy time cards for a really long time, and I just haven't. But you can make your own, you can print your own, you can, get your own card stock and write your own things on there and have a lot of fun with that. Bring in things that are playful and fun. Turn on music and dance after, and connect with your partner by dancing. You could, have the music going. You could have no music going and make your own music and just be fun and silly and playful. And as I'm saying these things, I'm like, I'm like ridiculously playful as I've done all, like, I will just sometimes get up and dance and pretend I'm like doing a striptease. Like, I don't know, I'm just silly and weird. So I think as long as you can remember to add play of some kind, with there's no obligation to the play, there's no destination to the play. It's sheerly just for the fun of it. And looking after your body after as well, like having water, having snacks, just having some time to breathe together. You know, that's always good too. It's a little bit more connective and serious, like deep breathing together, which is lovely too. And, you know, if you want to have sweet, soft conversations that are about things about that are more serious as well, like maybe something healed for you during that after play. Maybe you felt like more seen or heard than ever, and you want to share that with your partner, then by all means, mix that up. It's important to look at the dynamic of your relationship and what you feel is maybe lacking. If you feel like laughter is lacking, then you need to add some laughter into things, be a little bit more silly, and add something that is going to switch that energy up. If you feel like you're silly all the time and you need more seriousness, then you're going to need to do more of the connecting with eyes and be more, a little bit more, more rooted and more, I would say, more physical in a way, like with touch. Or if you need more things that are where you feel like you've been avoiding certain conversations, and maybe this feels like the time that your partner is there and present and can hear you, this is the time you bring up things like that as well. Sometimes bringing up serious things before sex can be a bit daunting, but sometimes it's needed too, because you might not feel like your body can relax enough to enjoy it if you are waiting. You're like, your whole brain is considering these important things before sex. And yes, it might ru ruin the mood. Well, it also might be necessary in order to be able for your body to be present enough to enjoy sex. So, and the foreplay and the afterplay. I would love to hear your ideas on afterplay. Do you practice afterplay in your life? Is it something that you've always done? Is it something that is like a new concept to you? Is it something that you would like for you and your partner to start to do, but you don't know how? So, one of the things with afterplay, and if you want to start to do that, is you can start with simple requests. So, one of the 10 that I've mentioned in this show, which I'll just kind of give you a quick run through. The things that we've mentioned are like breathing, gentle touch, verbal appreciation, spooning, temperature play, having something to drink like tea or water, like hydration, having snacks, playful snacks, could rub the food on each other's body, that sort of thing, having full body contact with cuddling or skin to skin, just like hands to hands, that kind of connection, having silence, having sweet conversations about things that matter to you or things that are silly and playful, or playing, literally playing a game with dice. And you could have also, some people really like to close things off, like they love ritual with sex. So even having something where you close it off and you acknowledge, maybe you have a shower together and clean up and use a cleanup situation as a ritual as well, to enjoy each other's bodies in the shower, whatever floats your boat. But the most important part is that you're doing this together if you're in partnership. But know that if you're solo, you can still use these rituals for yourself. Get your water, get your snacks, get your stuff going, roll your own dice for play. You know, go have your bath after maybe you've masturbated, and maybe that'll get you riled up for more fun. And enjoy that time in the bath. Maybe you're get some bubbles going and have lots of fun and get music. I also mentioned dancing. Get that happening. So if you're looking for ideas, start with some of the ones that I've mentioned, because they're going to be a really easy starting point. They're really easy to access, and they're really going to be something that not only can you access, they're going to be easy to have conversation about. It's not like you're doing something super extreme that you've never tried before, or that is so foreign that people would just be like scared of. So know that you can absolutely just begin to have these conversations with your partner, engage them in small things at first, whether it's cuddling or just, you know, discussing what you enjoyed. Taking 10 minutes to do that, 10 minutes more. So make sure that you have that time. And then as it grows, you might even take more time. You might end up having half an hour. You might end up having a whole day. You might find that you love after play as much as you love foreplay or more, that it becomes so integrated, you do it all the time. And I hope you start. And if you need
Thank
help,
you for choosing
connect
to
with me.
listen to the Pleasure Zone with sex, relationship, and intimacy coach, Milica Jelinic. We'll return next Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. We hope you'll join us. Until then, have the best week of your life by choosing to be turned on and tuned in to your body.